Father, I pray for every one of us that we would be encouraged, grown, and get closer to who you've called us to be, Father, in this place today through this message. Let your word do what you have sent it to do. In Jesus' name, put your hand on your belly, would you, everyone in this room, everyone at home, watching online, worshiping there in your living room, from wherever you are, Pennsylvania, other places of Indiana, Ohio, whatever, man, let's do this together. Pray this with me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me hear what you want me to hear. Let me see what you want me to see, so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Everybody say the skim and the squeeze. The Apostle Paul here in 2 Corinthians is talking, and 2 Corinthians is an interesting letter. Some of Paul's letters, he gets very theological and very high-minded and goes into the great depths of explaining salvation and truth and the gospel and what that means, what the physical death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus has accomplished, and what it means for us both spiritually and physically. And he often will go into the Jewish history and the Old Testament and use those examples to explain. And then there are other letters, kind of like 2 Corinthians, because Paul had a very personal relationship with the church in Corinth. You can find the beginning of that in the book of Acts chapter 18, where Paul begins to work in the city of Corinth. And there was a great work of God there, a huge mega church. Thousands of people got saved, and Paul stayed there for about a year or more working in that. So he had a very, some places he would get something going, and the Lord move him on very quickly. Other places like Corinth and Ephesus, Paul would stay there a little longer and had a little bit more of a personal connection to him. And Corinth was one of those places. And so because of Paul's personal connection, he begins to go a little past just the theological educational, if you will, doctrinal statements of the faith that he lays out so beautifully through Scripture. But he begins to share some of his own personal struggles and what's really happening in his life and in his soul and what's going on with him personally beyond the greater work. And in this moment, which is written later on in Paul's life, he's telling the Corinthians about just his personal struggle and just being real honest and being real vulnerable about where he's at and where he's been. And he's letting them know, hey, listen, man, serving Jesus isn't always fun. You guys know this. And he's saying this to them. You guys have understood. Persecution happens. Pressure happens. Things happen that aren't fun. I get knocked down. I get hit. I mean, anybody ever can relate to that out here? Amen, somebody? Most of us, I hope, are mature enough and have been serving Jesus long enough to understand that just because we said amen at an altar or lifted our hands in worship and accepted what Jesus did, that didn't just magically wipe away all of life's problems and all of life's struggles. Amen, somebody? And so I don't ever let it be said that in this house or that you ever heard me tell you that if you said yes to Jesus, that all your troubles would be taken care of and you would never have another problem. Again, because not only is that just ludicrous to say, it's 100% not true, but what we do have is something inside of us, a greater power working in us as those things outside of us begin to add pressure and begin to feel like they're coming against us. Amen, somebody? In fact, that's why Jesus said, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Amen? And so Paul is digging into this with them a little bit, because one of the things that was going on when he's writing this letter to this place that he had a very deep personal connection with is that there were actually people who saw that Paul struggled so much. Paul struggled. In fact, later on in around 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul was going to say, man, he said, I had an affliction from Satan himself that I asked God again and again and again, take this thing from me, and God refused to take it. The only thing God ever spoke to me, and he said, is my strength is enough for you. Amen. My strength is made perfect in your weakness, is what Paul said to him, is what Jesus said to Paul. And so because of Paul's struggle was in fact so difficult and so evident to everyone around him that the history tells us that there were people and murmurs in the Corinthian church that they were basically saying, dude, Paul is so jacked up and his life is such a mess, we don't even know if he's really a man of God. We don't really know if God, is he really a, is this really the truth that he's talking? And so Paul begins to explain here. He says, listen, we have this treasure from heaven, this light that is shining in our hearts, but this treasure is in this very weak and fragile, Paul calls it a jar of clay. And then Paul begins this explanation. And this is the first thing that I want to say real plainly this morning. We're going to talk about the skim and the squeeze here in just a moment. But the first thing that I want everyone within the sound of my voice today to hear, the first thing I feel like the Lord wants everyone to understand is, listen to me. Don't miss this. We haven't done this in a while. Everybody lean in real. Lean in. Turn your ear. Give me an ear to listen to. I'm going to whisper this. Listen to me. There is a treasure on the inside of you from God. All right, about seven of us believe that. I'm going to do it again. Listen, I'm going to talk to y'all over here for a second. I don't care what you feel. I don't care what you're going through. I'm telling you what the Word of God said. There is a treasure from heaven on the inside of you. And now watch this. Hold on. And God wants to make a withdrawal. All right, y'all can sit back. I'm gonna shout now for a little bit. I'm gonna get loud. Here we go. That Greek word treasure, where Paul says that we have this light shining in our hearts like a great treasure, in the original Greek language, that word is actually translated, a better translation would be a deposit. Amen? How many, did anybody get paid this week? Anybody get a deposit in your check on Friday? No? Okay, good. I expect to see a tithe in the offering later. No, I'm just, well, actually, I should expect, you should do that. When you get a deposit, the only reason you ever put a deposit in your account is because you hope to, or you know it one day, you will eventually need to make a withdrawal on that deposit. Amen? Wouldn't it be a terrible thing, and this happened, in like 1929, the stock market crash. Could you imagine going to the bank and saying, I want to take out $500 or whatever you had? I need to take out $5. That's usually what I can do. But like, it's like, can you take out? Imagine if you went to the bank and they said, we actually don't have. Can you give us a couple days? Imagine going to the bank and saying, I need to take out $1,000, and they said, we're gonna have to get that to you in a couple days. What? That's crazy. You know what else is crazy? You ever notice this? You ever notice how, like, when you pay something like online or something with your credit card or any kind of card charge, you ever notice how they instantly take the money out of your account, but then if you need to make a return or something was wrong and they messed up and they're supposed to give the money back, all of a sudden it takes them 4 to 6 weeks to put that back in your account? How the heck does that work, man? If I was running for president, that would be the number one issue I would be talking about, you know? Like, if you take it instantly out, you can put it instantly back, amen? Bradley 2024, let's go, baby. I'm kidding. That'd be the worst mistake you ever made. The only reason that you make a deposit is so that you can take it out. And when Paul says God has put not just a treasure, but a deposit on the inside of you, believe me, he has placed a deposit. And what is that deposit? That deposit is the gospel. It is the Word of God. It is the presence of Jesus and the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit that he has placed on the inside of us. And listen to me, God has made that deposit in your and my life because he wants to draw it out at some point in the future. Amen, somebody? So you have a treasure inside of you. You have a deposit inside of you from heaven, and God wants to draw it out. Amen, somebody? Somebody say, God's about to make a withdrawal. Oh, I hear that in my spirit. Listen, some of you need to hear that. I speak that prophetically over some. Some of you have been reading the Word of God, have been faithful, and have been in church, and have been doing what God's called you to do, have been serving Jesus and going after him, and you've been prayed over, or you've been oiled up, you've been anointed, you've been this, and you've been that, and we went to every Bible study, and you went to everything that there was, and you went to every revival meeting, and you went to every place where God was moving, and you went to all this. Listen to me. God has put some stuff in some of you, and we're coming into a time and a season where I believe God is wanting to withdraw the deposit that he has placed in you. This is not a savings account that we're looking to retire with. God put something in us to get it out for his glory, his kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen, somebody? Some of you have got some stuff sitting in you that you've been wondering, is it God is about to make a withdrawal on some of that deposit. Amen, somebody? There's a deposit in you. There's a treasure in you, a great treasure inside of you that God wants to draw out. But this is what Paul says. He says, we have this deposit. We have this great treasure, but God has chosen to put it inside of ordinary, plain jars of clay. He calls them fragile jars of clay. Now, of course, for the people, this was just the common stuff that they had. Everybody had regular clay pots and regular clay jars, and that's what they used to do everything from use as a chamber pot to a water carrier, hopefully different vessels for that, but to hold wine, to hold oil, to hold incense and perfume, everything. But a lot of us house in the same thing. And he says we have this treasure. He says we have this great treasure on the inside of us, but it's in this regular jar that can be broken, that can be beaten, that can be jacked up. He says, but what he's essentially getting to is that just because he's saying don't discount and dismiss the treasure just because it's inside of something that you don't recognize the value in it. Amen? Oh, look at that. That was almost prophetic. Our good friends at FCM Bank helped us out with this week. I got these two jars here. In fact, let's take a minute and talk about mortgage rates real quick, you know. Because when you need a mortgage, you should go to no, I'm just kidding. That'd be wild if we had to stop and do commercials in the middle. Anyway, so I got these two jars here from our friends and neighbors at FCM Bank, Franklin County's Community Bank. Okay, that's enough. where's somebody come help me real quick? Somebody who's going to freak out. Oh, come here real quick, Chase. Look at Chase home here from Wittenberg University, baseball star. This kid. Look at jacked, dude. Goodness gracious. All right, look at this. Which one's more valuable? I see you looking. Okay. Why is this one more valuable? What do you see inside of it? Money, right? There's a 20 in here, okay? Now, in here, there's just, what, some change, right? Literally a few pennies, a nickel, and a dime, right? Amen? I know you guys have seen this. This is not, like, groundbreaking stuff, but I think it's important to understand to see it. I mean, you can sit down. Thanks, Chase, all right? So now this one looks nice. This one, obviously, has been beaten up a little bit. I was wailing on this thing with a hammer about an hour ago, and I stuck it together with some of these Band-Aids, but... And so it would be very tempting, and in fact, I asked Luca, because he's a little younger, he was like, well, this one looks better, and I was like, okay, well, what's inside? And so you understand, what we do is what I'm trying to say is, too often, and I know this is very basic, you've all heard this since you were in kindergarten, but it's still true, too often we look at what's going on with the outside of the vessel, and we try to gauge value by what we only can see on the outside. And that's exactly what's happening with Paul. He's getting beat up and messed up and jacked up. And the people that these people that love him and he's loved them and he's ministered to, they're looking at his life going, I don't even think you got anything. I don't even think you're serving God anymore. God has taken his hand off of your life. And he's saying, guys, you're only looking at the outside of the jar. You're only looking at the outside of this fragile clay jar and not seeing what's inside. Amen? Because here's the thing. Listen, value is not determined on the outside. Value is determined based on what's inside. Amen? So this one, even though it might look a little prettier and it hasn't been beat up and life hasn't stomped it in the mud hole yet, this thing's only worth, I think I got about 28 cents in there. Isn't it also crazy how the thing that is of least value makes the most noise? That'll preach right there, won't it? There's way too many people that got nothing on the inside of them, making a whole lot of noise around this world and around our lives. Amen, somebody? But all they got's a few cents. And sometimes the thing that's actually more valuable, you don't even hardly hear it. But if you were to look inside, you go, oh, there's a $20 bill in there. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter. I don't care what the outside of this looks like. This 28 cents, as loud as it can be, is never going to have the same value as the quiet thing in the jar that's been stuck together, held together, scratched up, banged up, beat up, broken in pieces, glued back together and everything else. It's still valuable, amen? In fact, the outside of the jar, the outside of the vessel actually has no weight in the value of what's inside. Amen? I could put a little pair of pants and a shirt on this thing. I don't know why I would, but I could. I mean, I could paint some kind of very pretty thing on the outside of this, and it's only ever going to be as valuable as the treasure that I deposit on the inside of it. And this thing could get busted, could get broken, could get destroyed, could get beat up. I could leave it outside all year long. I could let the snow and the rain and the wind and the elements and the ice and the mud and the dog could come and take a leak on it and could grab it and shake it around and bury it in the ground and dig it back up, and the moles could get into it and the worms could cover it and everything else, and you could find that thing 3, 4, 5 years later. But guess what? As long as the treasure is still in it, it's going to retain its value. Amen? Regardless of what happens to the outside of the vessel, the value on the inside remains the same. Amen, somebody? And I just want to tell somebody and remind somebody real quick this morning that it doesn't matter what's gone on around you. It doesn't matter what's happened on the outside of you. It doesn't matter how broken and barely holding it together and busted and broke down and kicked around and spit on and everything else that you might have felt life has done to your vessel. God has a treasure, a deposit on the inside of you, and the value of what God is doing in you is never going to be determined by what's happening around you. Amen, somebody? And so listen, it is a lie from the pit of hell that makes you think that because what's happening around, that makes you think that what's happening around you is determining your intrinsic value. Your value was determined 2,000 years ago when Jesus shed his blood on a hill called Calvary. And then when he showed himself to you and put his spirit on the inside of you, that is the thing that gives you your value. And that is the great deposit and the great treasure that's inside of you. Let me say it this way. A broken vessel does not equal a broken treasure. Just because the vessel got messed up doesn't mean that God's deposit has gotten hurt. Just because the jar got a few cracks in it doesn't mean the treasure has lost any of its value. There's a great treasure on the inside of you. There's a great treasure on the inside of you. And God wants to draw it out. Let's talk about how God draws that out. Paul uses these words, I think, very carefully. I'm going to read them again. After he declares that we all have a treasure, that there is this light shining in us, this treasure that's from the, it's in the glory of God. He says, we now have this treasure. Verse 8, he says, we are pressed on every side by trouble, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Paul is saying that in every aspect of our life, we are these fragile clay jars that are holding this great deposit from heaven, and we have outside forces pressing in on us, pushing against us, confusing us, trying to kill us, trying to hunt us, trying to put us in prison, trying to take the treasure that's in us and trying to destroy the vessel and trying to do these things. He says, but we are not destroyed. Here's what you need to understand. The way that God often will begin to draw out the deposit that's in you is he will allow or he will use the pressure that comes in this life to squeeze what he has placed inside. Amen, somebody? I can speak from my own life that there have been lots of moments where without an outside catalyst or an outside thing pushing against me, forcing, it often has forced something out that I may not have even realized was there to begin with. Amen? I remember a few years ago, a lot of years ago now, I was in Bible college. I was about 20. And I was just a broke Bible college student waiting tables or something. At, I don't know, some stupid restaurant. And I got my taxes done, and the guy called me, and he said, got some bad news, buddy. You owe, $700 in, income tax this year. I know that's not a great deal of money, but to a 20-year-old broke college student, he might as well have said, I owe $5 million. I mean, I was like, oh, my. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have. If you owe more than you have, you're broke. That's what it is, right? And so I remember when I got that information, feeling, oh, my God, how are we going to do this? But for one of the first times in my life as a Christian, I can remember getting that information, and as I began to open my mouth, instantly it was like the Spirit of God just for lack of a better word, just came up out of my spirit. And I said, you know what? My God will supply all of his needs according to his riches and glory. My Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he will provide for this too. Amen? And so I just began to pray. What I'm saying is sometimes pressure squeezes out, and God will often use pressure to squeeze out of you something that he's placed in you that you didn't even realize was there. Amen? Let me say this. The thing trying to take you out is actually squeezing out the great treasure that God put in you. And listen, life happens, man. Jesus said, in this world you will face troubles, but fear not, I've overcome the world. Aren't you glad Jesus was honest with us and told us, you're going to go through some stuff. Amen? Life has pressure every single day. From some of it from without, some of it from within, some of it things that we can't control that are coming around us, some of us things are because of our bad choices or whatever. Doesn't matter what it is, I'm telling you, here's the thing. Jesus said the thief, the devil, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's bringing things against the vessel, against the jar, to try to stop the treasure that God's put on the inside of you. But what God does, God turns the pressure, God turns the thing that is trying to take you out, and he will use that to squeeze out, to push out, to get out the deposit that he's made. That's how he makes the withdrawal. Amen, somebody? It's the squeeze. It's the withdrawal process. And it sucks. And it's not very fun, and it can be very painful, and it can often make us think that, man, where is God? Have I forsaken God? Has he forsaken me? Have I disobeyed God? Has he forgotten me? Have I done something wrong? Am I even where I'm supposed to be going? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And it can make us think all of these things. And very often, notice here too what Paul says, and I really feel like somebody needs to get this in their spirit this morning, man, because this really hit me hard when I was studying this week and get ready for this message. Notice that Paul says, yes, we are pressed. We are pressed on every side by trouble, right? Yeah, thank you. We are pressed on every side by troubles. Now, what I will do and what I need to be reminded of is this. What I will do is often I will look around on every side and think, oh, man, Oh, man, I got these bills due. My kids are acting crazy. I got to get all this stuff done at work. And my wife needs da-da-da-da-da-da. And I got this stuff at the house to do. And I got this other thing. And we look around, and my whole life just seems like all this stuff vying for my attention, vying for my time, vying for this stuff. And I got all this stuff, and I feel like I'm about to lose it. I'm about to go crazy. And, yes, that is all very well true. Some of it may be worse than other things in different seasons, different times. But in those moments where we're tempted to look at all the stuff that's pressing against us, you know what Paul does? Paul says, yes, I am pressed on every side, but I am not crushed. I'm still here. I'm still standing. I'm still preaching the gospel. I'm still doing what God's called me to do. I'm still being the father I'm supposed to be. I'm still being faithful to my marriage. I'm still showing up and doing the best that I can do at my job. I'm still pursuing the thing that God's put in. What I'm trying to say is, when we're tempted to look at the trouble around us, sometimes we need to forget about what we see and thank God and praise God for what we don't see. Yes, I've got some trouble. Yes, I've got some bills that are due. But thank God I'm not broke. I've got food in my belly. Come on, somebody. Yes, my kids might be driving me crazy right now, and I'm wondering how that's all going to work out. I don't know what's going on. But, man, thank God that I've got kids. I'm not barren. I'm not on my – come on, somebody. Me and my wife might be driving me nuts, but I'm not alone. I've got a somebody needs to thank God for the knots you have going on right now. There's some knots that are worthy of praise in my life and in your life. Don't for a second get distracted by all of the pressure and all of the stuff pressing around you and forget about the stuff that's not happening, because sometimes the stuff that's not going on is just as big a miracle as the stuff when we see God is doing something. Amen? There's some knots there. I'm pressed, but I'm not crushed. I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. I'm not abandoned. I'm not destroyed. What is it? What's going on? When you've got something coming against you, but there's all these knots there too, that is a real big indicator that God is simply trying to make a withdrawal on the great treasure that's inside of you. And he uses the pressure to squeeze out what he's pushed in. Now, I don't know about y'all, but too many times, more often than I would ever want to admit, often when I'm squeezed, it's not treasure that comes out first. Are you guys, yep, like in agreement that you get that too? Or yep, we see that in you. We know, Justin, that you have, okay. Often when squeezed, it's not Jesus that comes out. Often when squeezed, it's not treasure that comes out. I'll just be honest. A lot of times when Justin Browley gets squeezed, unfortunately, the first thing that shows up is trash. Amen. Jason and Michael tell you this. Ryan, we were playing... We were playing disc golf a few weeks ago, and we were crossing the road over there in the park. This truck came flying through the park going way faster than he's supposed to. It's my sovereign duty. To correct such reckless behavior. So I hollered something. I was like, hey, slow down, or something. And he hollered something back. And then the next thing that I hollered was not appropriate for the pulpit. I'll just tell you that right now. I'm just being honest with you. I mean, I was ready to fight. I thought I was going to fight. Like I said, it was one of those things where I said what I shouldn't say. And then I saw, and then I looked up and his brake lights came on. And I was like, oh, okay. I was taking my shirt off. I was like, all right, let's go, son. Jason started praying for me. Because sometimes when pressure hits, man, trash comes out first, unfortunately. Now listen, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that because I'm proud of it. In fact, I was ashamed of it. In fact, I texted all those guys probably the next day, and I was like, guys, I feel like such a fool for what I let come out of me in that moment of just stupidity. But part of the process, see, of God withdrawing the treasure that's inside of me and inside of you is often the squeeze, but the squeeze will often cause trash to come up to the surface first. Because the trash is usually lighter and less dense and, let me say, of less value and of little weight. So when pressure comes, it's those impurities that boil up to the surface first. And the instinct would be to either think, well, look at this. Here's what's coming out. Is this trash? Is this garbage? So I guess there is no treasure in me. And the instinct might be to deny and say, well, I guess that's just what's in me. I guess there really isn't a great treasure inside of me. I guess I really need to get straightened out. Or the instinct might be to just deny it and ignore it and to just keep moving on and just go, well, that's Jesus or whatever. No, but what God is often wanting to do is as he squeezes, there's also a skimming that has to take place when God is making a withdrawal and pushing the great treasure, the gift, the anointing, his spirit that's inside of you. There needs to be a skimming away of some of the stuff that God puts in. Amen, someone? And some of us, listen, and I'm saying us, it's me too. There's a whole lot more trash that often needs skimmed away than we realize or want to admit. Amen, somebody? But listen, it's all part of the process of God withdrawing the thing that he's put inside of you, the purpose that he's created within you, the reason that he brought you into this world, and the thing that he has empowered, anointed, and called you to do. It is all part of the process. It is the squeeze and the skim. The skim and the squeeze is part of how God is bringing out his thing in your life. Amen? So I'm saying that to someone to encourage you to say, man, don't get frustrated in the process. And don't think that because there's a bunch of trash coming to the surface, and don't think that because there's a bunch of pressure coming on and going on all around you in your life, if you feel that and think that, listen, you're exactly where Paul is when he's writing this letter to the Corinthian church. Paul is saying, we are being skimmed, we are being squeezed, but we know that, look at what he says, look at how he finishes this. Listen, verse 10, he says, through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that, everybody say so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our body. What he's saying is, this thing, this is the way that it works. This pressure, this pressing on every side, this knockdown but not destroyed, all of these things, it is so that the treasure that's in us can get pushed out of us and give glory to God, and we can be functioning in the thing that God has saved us for to begin with. Amen? But there's no short way around it, and there's no other way to get the way that it happens. I've got to be willing, and I've got to go through the skim and the squeeze. The skim and the squeeze. God will use life's pressure to both squeeze out his treasure and skim away the trash in my life. That's what he's doing. I really felt like, I think back in May, I really feel like the Lord really just put on my heart that's just what he was doing just in me personally in this year and in this season, that it was, God just said, I really just feel like I wrote it down in my prayer journal, that the Lord was just really on my heart and said, man, I'm using this season to both skim away and squeeze out some stuff in your life. Maybe somebody at home, maybe somebody here, Maybe you've been right there, man. Maybe you've been feeling the pressure. Maybe you've been feeling things pressing around you. Maybe this year, maybe these last few months, maybe even these last few weeks, has been feeling like, oh, this, why is everything always so haywire? Why is everything always so busy? Why is all this stuff? It could be. And I just really have this thought on my head, even for not just our personal lives, but even what if for the church, even from the last 3 years of COVID and the pandemic and shutdowns and all that, what if all of that God has been using and working in our lives and in his church the whole time to both squeeze out and skim away some stuff so that we could loose the light and the treasure that he's got in us. I don't know. It's just a thought. I'm not saying God told me. I'm just saying it's just a thought in my head. I think it's something worth thinking about and praying about as we look around at all the pressure and all the stuff that may be coming on in life. Amen? Now, I'm going to close right here. I'm almost done. Because this is not fun. This is not a fun process, but I want to read you this scripture. Joel chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. Joel chapter 22, verse 23 and 24, and this is part of what Peter quotes in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost when he says, the Lord poured his spirit upon all flesh, and sons and daughters will prophesy, and old men will see visions, and young men will dream dreams. And man, we preach that, and we pray about that, and we shout about that, and sing songs about that, because it means that God's spirit is moving and bringing revival, and we're big on revival and big on a move of God. But look at what this is. This is another part of that from the Old Testament that Peter quotes. He doesn't quote it in Acts, but it's part of that greater thought of what's going on when the Spirit's moving and when revival's happening, when God's moving. He says this. It says, "Rejoice, you people of Jerusalem. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for the rain he sends demonstrates his faithfulness. Once more, the autumn rains will come as well as the rains of spring." And then look at this. "The threshing floors will again be piled high with grain, and the presses," everybody say the presses, "the presses will overflow with new wine and olive oil." This is not fun, but it's true. Part of the Spirit of God moving in new and powerful and real ways, and I believe God has a great move for this house. We've seen God do some great things, but we haven't seen anything close to what I believe God wants to do. Amen? But part of the Spirit moving, whether it be in a church, in a corporate setting, or personally in your own life, is a pressing of your life. And I just want to end today real quick by telling somebody, listen to me. There's oil on the inside of you. There's oil. Put that picture up, will you? There's oil on the inside of you. Now, the only way those olives in the back bowl turn into that liquid golden stuff right there in the front is that they have to be crushed, and they have to be pressed, and they have to be shaken up, and they have to be pressed and shaken and scrunched and crushed and all that again. And they do that process again and again and again until all the oil comes out. Because the olive has a little bit of value by itself, but it's really that oil. You take that jar of olives, you know, you could buy that for $7 or $8. That jar of olive oil, you're going to pay $9, $10 for if it's really good stuff, pure extra. Listen, what I'm saying is there is oil inside of you that God wants to get out. The Spirit of God, a move of God, doesn't happen as some external thing that we're just going to be like, oh, God's moving, that's great. No. The Spirit moves because he wants to get the oil out of you. And if the Spirit moving means that the presses will once again run with new wine and all oil, that means that part of the Spirit moving, part of a move of God in my life, is going to require some pressing to get out the oil that's in me. But there's oil. Stand with me all over this place this morning. We just close your eyes for a second. I'm going to be done talking in about 3 minutes. I didn't know how this was going to end today, but I just really feel like just telling you what I feel like God put on my heart for you this morning. It's for somebody at home, somebody in this room. Listen. If you're identifying with Paul here, if you're feeling pressed on every side, if you're feeling perplexed and confused and feeling like people are coming after you and feeling like, man, what's going on? I just want to let you know, and I really feel like the Lord wants to let you know. He wants to remind you, listen, God is not punishing you. God has not forgotten you. God is not abandoning you. God is refining you. And God is using all that stuff to press the oil, the anointing. All throughout Scripture, oil represents the anointing and the power of God working in my life. But the only way oil flows is if something gets pressed. God isn't punishing you. God isn't mad at you. God is refining you. God is withdrawing the oil, the anointing, the calling, the power, the purpose, the plan that He has placed inside of you, the great treasure that He has deposited in you through Jesus. He's pressing it out of you. Lord, I pray that you would just bear witness with that in our hearts right now. Lord, I pray for the sweet touch of the Holy Spirit. Pray for the sweet touch of the Holy Spirit to begin to just come alongside each and every one of us, God, that this word is for today. God, someone came in this place this morning. Someone's listening right now. That literally woke up not knowing if they were going to make it through another week. Wonder how they're going to get through with all the stuff they got that's going on. Lord, I speak life over that, and I speak right now. Holy Spirit, let them know right now that this moment is for them. This word is for them. That God, you are refining and pressing something greater from within them than they could ever imagine. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that our value is not determined by what's happened to the outside of our vessel. But Lord, it's based on what you have placed within us. And Father, I pray right now that you would help, and I pray this over myself and over everyone that this is for today. Help me, help us, help this house. Help us to surrender to both the skim and the squeeze in our lives. God, help us not to fight against the stuff that, God, you actually are using to press something greater out of us. Lord, when something comes out of us that we don't like, when trash is pushed out instead of treasure, Lord, I pray that we will just take those moments to allow you to skim away that thing, whatever it is, Father, whatever it is. Lord, skim away till your treasure is revealed. In Jesus' name I pray. I really feel like in my heart, I just have to be obedient to what I see in my spirit, but this may sound weird, but I just really feel like the Lord is just like putting his hand on somebody's shoulder right now. I don't know what that means for you really, except I know sometimes in life, man, when you can feel alone, you can feel abandoned, you can feel like nobody else is with you. And man, there have been times in my life where I felt a hand on my shoulder. And just let me know I wasn't alone. I just really feel like that's what the Holy Spirit's doing for somebody right now. Just putting his hand on your shoulder, letting you know he's with you. Letting you know this time that feels like you're getting crushed, but you're not crushed, is he's with you. He's in it. He's pressing something greater out of you. Thank you, Jesus. Squeeze what needs to be squeezed, God. Skim what needs to be skimmed. Have your way. Let your light, your treasure, be withdrawn from every part of our lives, everywhere that we go, for your glory, for your name. Jesus' name I pray. Stretch your hands this way. Receive this blessing from the Lord. These altars are going to be open. If you need prayer, man, if you need to take a moment and just kind of take a moment and process with God for a moment, man, I encourage you to do that. Don't get in a rush. Don't get in a hurry. If you want to come down to the altar for a moment, if you want to sit at your seat for a moment, don't just rush out and in, man. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you right now. If you need prayer, we're here to agree with you in prayer. Deacons, elders, we'll be here to pray with you. Altar workers, if you need someone to agree with you in prayer, because there's power in agreement. But I want to speak this blessing over you, man, and as we end this time in the Word today. Father, we love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Receive this right now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord establish you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. God, skim away, squeeze out everything that you want in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. If you believe that, say amen. If you believe God's doing that, say amen. If God spoke to you today, say amen. Come on, let's worship him for just a moment as we get ready to end this time together.
Beside you, open up my